All right, let's unpack this. Today, we're plunging into the mind of a true legend, a name that's practically shorthand for pushing the limits of excellence. Kobe Bryant and his powerful philosophy, the Mamba mentality, how I play.
Yeah, absolutely. We've gathered insights from, comprehensive summaries of his book, and our mission today is really to move past just the highlight reel.
Right.
We want to understand what truly separates good from great, and maybe more importantly, how you, regardless of what you do, can cultivate that mindset needed for sustained excellence.
And for anyone maybe less familiar with the story, Kobe Bryant was just one of the most accomplished basketball players ever. I mean, 5 NBA championships, 18 All-Star selections, one of the highest scorers in league history. But what makes this deep dive so compelling isn't just his athletic achievements, it's this, well, this profound mental blueprint he left behind. So we often associate athletes of Kobe's caliber with incredible natural talent, right? But the Mamba mentality, it seems to suggest something a little deeper. How would you define it for our listener, and where does talent, or maybe lack of it, fit into this?
That's a great question, because the core revelation here, really, is that the Mamba mentality completely discounts natural gifts as the primary driver.
Interesting.
Kobe's central philosophy is that excellence isn't some destination you arrive at, but it's a relentless, continuously evolving process of improvement. He basically engineered this feedback loop of obsessive preparation, really granular study, and this unique way of reframing failure.
Reframing failure, how so?
Well, not seeing it as an endpoint, but as crucial data,
Hmm?
fuel for his relentless algorithm for improvement. He wasn't just working hard. He was like iterating towards perfection with every single move,
Yeah.
constantly recalibrating based on data from his efforts, even his mistakes.
Wow. That's a powerful revelation for an athlete like him to have. So it wasn't just about his innate gifts, but a really conscious decision to just outwork everyone. Can you tell us more about that specific turning point for him?
Exactly. He developed this mindset from this profound realization that his natural talent alone, I mean, as significant as it was, it just wouldn't be enough to achieve his really lofty goals.
Right.
He knew he had to outthink and outwork everyone every single day. And what's more, he was kind of uniquely positioned to articulate this philosophy, not just because of his achievements, but because he had this immense intellectual curiosity.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
He delved into psychology, philosophy, even things like military strategy, and his background, being multilingual from growing up in Italy, that gave him a truly global perspective on learning and adapting that really informed his whole approach to excellence.
That idea of excellence as a continuous process really shifts the focus, doesn't it? From the outcome to the inputs. And speaking of inputs, before we ever saw those, dazzling dunks or game-winning shots, there was just a mountain of unseen work. So, what did those core pillars of Kobe's process actually look like?
Yeah, the book really details this process as the bedrock. It started, interestingly, with an insatiable curiosity and a profound love for the game itself.
Not just playing it,
Not just
but.
playing it, no. It was about studying its history, understanding the why behind every move, not just the how. Then came the preparation and routine, his legendary work ethic. It included incredibly early morning workouts, often starting at 4 or 5 a.m.,
Wow.
which allowed him multiple training sessions a day. And he consistently argued that this consistency was far more important than, say, intensity on any single day. It was like a compound effect of daily effort.
And when we talk about his preparation, that film study always comes up. What
Yeah.
made his approach to film study truly like next level compared to others?
Well, he didn't just watch opponents. He studied them like a scholar, meticulously breaking down every tendency, their preferred moves. He even studied referees to anticipate their calls.
The refs too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what really sets it apart, I think, is how he drew inspiration from unexpected places, like observing a cheetah hunting its prey to inform his footwork,
No way.
or a great white shark's movement to develop his predatory instinct on the court. That's just a unique level of observation and application.
That's incredible.
And his physical and mental prep was equally meticulous. His training regimens constantly evolved from focusing on explosive power early on to later emphasizing stability and injury prevention. He also stressed diet, ice baths, and the often overlooked importance of sleep and recovery for longevity.
A cheetah and a great white shark.
Yeah.
That really makes you wonder what unexpected sources of inspiration we're all overlooking in our own daily lives, right?
Exactly.
And what about managing the inevitable physical toll? It sounds like he treated his body and mind like a, well, a high performance machine, even when it started to break down.
He absolutely did. When it came to pain and injury management, he saw pain not as a deterrent, but as information. He learned to mentally sort of wall it off to play through it when possible.
Mm-hmm.
And major injuries, like that devastating Achilles tendon rupture, they weren't viewed as career enders. He saw them as new crafts to master. Rehabilitation became its own kind of victory, attacked with the same obsessive focus as perfecting a jump shot.
That level of detail, that dedication, it sounds incredibly powerful. But, you know, for an everyday person juggling work, family, other commitments,
yeah.
How realistic is it to apply obsessive preparation or mastering pain to, say, learning a new software skill or even just a hobby? What are the sort of entry points for someone who isn't an elite athlete?
That's a fantastic and crucial question because the principles are universal, but the application scales, right? It's about finding your version of that focus. So, for example, instead of 4 a.m. workouts, maybe it's dedicating one uninterrupted hour to a specific project you care about. It's not about replicating Kobe's exact routine, obviously, but adopting his mindset, that intentionality, consistent learning, and treating every setback as valuable data.
Right. Adopting the mindset. Okay, so once that foundation was built, how did the mama mentality translate into his, you know, masterful play on the court? What skills did he truly perfect?
This is where the craft element really shines.
Yeah.
He started with the absolute basics, emphasizing that perfect footwork. The pivot, the jab step, creating space was the non-negotiable foundation for all the advanced moves.
Fundamentals first.
Absolutely. He drilled these until they were second nature, almost subconscious. Then shooting and scoring, practicing thousands upon thousands of shots from every spot on the floor, making the motion pure muscle memory.
So it frees up the mind.
Exactly. It freed his mind in a game to constantly read the defense, anticipate rotations, exploit mismatches. He would even make specific moves early in a game just to set up a counter move later on, always thinking several plays ahead, like a mental chess match. That truly set him apart.
And he wasn't just an offensive force, right? His defense was legendary, too. How did the Mamba mentality inform that side of his game, especially when he was facing his peers, the other greats?
Indeed. Yeah, while known for scoring, he was an elite defender. He focused on intimidation, sure, but also intelligence taking away an opponent's primary strength, forcing them into their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And he applied this meticulous approach against the very best. He viewed rivals like Michael Jordan as his benchmark, his personal Mount Everest to climb and learn from, not just someone to beat.
Right, learning from them.
Yeah. Even his complicated partnership with Shaq, with Shaquille O'Neal, became a kind of case study for him in competition and collaboration. And when facing legends like LeBron James, his approach was always this strategic battle of will and intellect, always looking for that edge.
Of course, excellence isn't a smooth road. Kobe faced, well, numerous challenges, those devastating injuries, team conflicts, even personal controversies that played out very publicly. How did the Mamba mentality specifically help him navigate these inevitable setbacks, and what did he learn from them?
He famously embraced failure, really saw it as an essential part of the learning process. He didn't shy away from detailing specific failures in the book, missed shots, playoff losses, showing how each one became a learning experience that ultimately made him stronger. He argued that the fear of failure is often what prevents people from even attempting to reach their full potential. And as he aged, as his body changed, he actually reinvented his game multiple times, learning new skills, new approaches.
You're adapting.
Exactly. It demonstrated the importance of continuous learning and adaptation to maintain effectiveness and longevity. That's a principle applicable far beyond sports, obviously.
He also had to adapt his leadership style over time, too, didn't he? What did his evolution as a leader reveal about the Mamba mentality?
Absolutely. He discussed his evolution as a leader quite openly, acknowledging early mistakes and learning how to inspire teammates like Pau Gasol. His demanding nature, he explained, was never about belittling others. It was about pushing them to reach their potential.
Leading by example.
Leading by example and creating a culture where excellence was just the only acceptable standard. You know, his willingness to face, analyze, and learn from all these struggles truly solidified his philosophy, I think. It made it so much more impactful. It wasn't just about winning. It was about enduring, growing, and bringing others along.
So this isn't just about a basketball legend, then. This is really about how you, the listener, can apply these principles to your own life. So beyond the court, what are some practical applications of the Mamba mentality for someone listening right now?
You can absolutely generalize these insights. I mean, in your professional life, your career growth, you can deconstruct your craft, whatever it is. Study successful practices, study industry leaders. That's your own version of film study, right?
Right, your game film.
Exactly. Embrace feedback and setbacks as that game film to analyze and improve. For personal development, hobbies, apply deliberate practice to learning new skills, whether it's a musical instrument or a new language. Build those unshakable routines. Create your own early morning workouts for consistent growth.
And what about the mental game? Because that's often the hardest part, isn't it? Maintaining that resilience.
Definitely. For mindset and psychological resilience, the key is focusing on what you can control, rather than worrying about external factors you can't. Try to reframe challenges. See them not as barriers, but as puzzles to be solved. That fosters a proactive, solution-oriented mindset.
Puzzles to be solved. I like that.
And in leadership and teamwork, lead by example in any role you have, manager, parent, volunteer, committee member, whatever. Understand individual motivations and challenge others to reach their best, just like Kobe pushed his teammates.
It reminds me of that quote from Kobe himself. The mindset isn't about seeking a result. It's more about the process of getting to that result. It's about the journey and the approach. It's a way of life. That really distills the essence, doesn't it?
It really does. It frames the mindset as this continuous way of living. Mm. So if we try to connect all this to the bigger picture, I think the most valuable lessons from the mama mentality are pretty clear. Firstly, excellence is fundamentally about process. It's about intense preparation, continuous improvement, maintaining those unwavering standards rather than solely focusing on the outcome.
Okay, process over outcome.
Secondly, failure is not something to be feared. It should be embraced as essential for growth. You reframe setbacks as valuable data for learning and development.
Data, not disaster.
Precisely. And finally, mental toughness and competitive excellence aren't innate gifts. They are learnable skills, systematically developed through practice and experience. That makes true excellence accessible, really, to anyone willing to commit.
That really lands powerfully. Which brings us to a thought-provoking question for you, the listener. Kobe famously said, "I can't relate to lazy people. We don't speak the same language." So what does your pursuit of greatness demand from you? And maybe more pointedly, what sacrifices are you truly willing to make to embody your own version of that relentless commitment? That's our deep dive into the Mamba mentality. We truly hope these insights inspire you to maybe redefine your own pursuit of excellence.
Remember, the journey to greatness is demanding, absolutely. But as Kobe showed us, it's a path accessible to anyone willing to embrace the process with complete commitment and unwavering standards.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, keep diving deep into what drives you.